I'm good. How are you?
Good. How'd you go in Burnie on Saturday, even though it was pouring with rain for most of it?
Oh, we got around, by my estimations, there was about 300 people there. It was a shit day. It was the middle of, the Northwest community. There's a lot of sporting commitments on a Saturday. I had a lot of apologies. So to get 300 on that sort of a day in the middle of a major sporting community is pretty good effort, I thought.
Right, let's talk about the election this weekend. A rather important election. It's the chance to change things, shuffle the deck, so to speak. And what does one Craig Garland, Braddon Independent, have up his sleeve this time around?
Oh, I don't know what I've got up my sleeve, really. I sort of run by the seat of my pants, right from the start. I'm not a political beast and never were. So it's just sort of work it out as you go. I've got lots of help just on the King Island shipping situation, like we've got to the bottom of that, did a bit of research, and there was a line there that worked very well a long time ago. So, it's just... I don't know, networking, I guess, is my biggest skill. Yeah, see you, Phil. Just being able to access people with skin in the game and the knowledge to find out the information and get a clear picture of what's going on. And I think that's my biggest attribute. And basically as a minister, you're just a facilitator. So you're providing finance and you resources and helping the communities and different communities that make up Braddon. Sort out their situations. It's no different to what I did on the waterfront, ship's husbandry. A ship would come in, something they'd fix. I'd have to find the person to do it. If they needed stores, I had to do that. Yep. So it was just whatever came along to be able to deal with it. And, a lot of people, they assume total responsibility. I like to talk to people and bring in the greater community and make a decision. And basically, that's it. I want to bring the community back at the table. We've been left out of every discussion. Parks, we've been locked out, priced out. Areas we've camped in my whole lifetime, I can't go there anymore. Enough is enough. And we can sort out our problems. There's skin and there's enough of us within the community to do that. So give us the opportunity. And me as a minister, that's what I'll be focusing on, bringing in those different user groups that are out there. So
you're saying if you do get in, you'll have the power to be able to make some of those changes that we haven't had for so long?
My word. It's just about funding and facilitating and getting to the core of the problem. What I'm hearing from everywhere, from mayors down to pensioners, is their correspondence is not being returned. They're not being addressed to their issues. They're throwing money around in this election cycle now, throwing it everywhere. I think there's 60 groups or 60 donations by the Liberal Party in the Circular Head area alone. King Island airport issue. It's a small amount to fix it. They're throwing millions everywhere else, but this is a major issue for them, and they're not even replying to the correspondence. So I'll follow things up. And if funding is needed, and let's face it, most of the problems today, the first thing we talk about is how are we going to pay for this. My skill is also being able to do things using people on the cheap. Look at the science I did with the fisheries here. We caught the samples. Mature age students did the science under the instruction of an IMAS scientist. And we got four species done, like possibly $1 million or so more of science done by a collaborative approach through recreationals, commercial fishermen, mature age students. And in 1 year alone, I think the instructor had three or four that got first-class distinctions in the 1 year, and that's never been done before. So, and the budget for that was $700. So you can do things if you bring the community in. Everyone's got a passion. You bring those passionate people into whatever field, and before you know it. And let's face it, that's where we come from in the Northwest. This is the last place settled. It was impenetrable. People had to be resilient, resourceful, and work in a cooperative manner. They had to fix things or make things if they broke down, and we've got everything here. We've got manufacturing, we've got minerals, we've got resources on tap, we've got plenty of water, we've got fertile land, and more importantly, we've got a good sense of community. So, my role, I see it as a very easy one. It's just getting in there and representing this community and making sure they're getting their fair share and getting their issues addressed. And as a minister, you have a fair amount of power to do that. So,
Well, that's good to hear.
I'm looking forward to it if I do.
I was going to say, you've all got the same message, but it just seems that a few more of them have a lot more money than you do in the back pocket to spend on campaigning. Do you find that a disadvantage for your campaign this year?
No, well, I think it's up to the Braddon electorate to show that it's about substance, not about how much money you want to throw. If they want to be bought again and throw the same crowd in that has caused us so much grief and lied to us and ignored us, and if they want to take the cash and throw them back in, well, I reckon I'll move to King Island, to be honest. At least there's a sense of community over there. And like, that's, it's, you know, we have to wake up, we have to make a loud call, and we have to do it in a unified way. And this is not about so much what I have to offer, this is about so much of what they've not done. And if you want better, you throw your vote through me and you watch how quickly these major parties will come into line to address your concerns. They don't want me there, and I'm playing that card.
So why don't they want you there? Is it because the... Why?
It's about control, mate. It's all about control. Have you noticed how we've evolved into more or less a presidential campaign where we've got two people that are thrown out as our future leaders? You know, there's far better people in this community here than them two right now, to be honest. But that's what's going on. You know, it's all about parties now. It's all about money for them with us and false promises. What you need is people like Andrew Wilkie in there, people of integrity that can make merit-based decisions for the best interests of your constituents. And I believe me sitting alongside him, I can give him a hand, and I can also at the same time learn quite a bit from him. And I hope there's a few younger ones that do get in, a few independents, to sit on that bench with Wilkie just to make sure that policy is done right, not to control. You see how it's all about a grab for power now? You've got everyone grabbing for power. You've got Palmer, you vote for Palmer, you get Palmer. You vote for the Liberals, you'll get ScoMo. You vote for the Labor Party, you'll get Albanese and so on, you know. When you vote for Craig Garland, you get Craig Garland, not a bunch of corporate donors. I've had six donations, I've knocked back five, and they're all from people within the community and people I would call my friends. So that's the difference. I'm recognised now. People that know me know what I'm about, and they know what I have to offer. And that message is sweeping. I'm getting Liberal people, ex-Liberal voters. One 70-year-old lady saw me speak at the ABC the other day, and she went back to her son-in-law and said, "Do you know, Billy, it's the first time in my life I'm not voting Liberal. I'm voting for that young bloke." No, I'm not that young either. So, so, you know, there is a swing. I've had 60 sign requests this time around, not six or eight like I have in the past. This time I've got 300 or 400 signs, not 20 or 30. And this time I've had a lot of time to get around and talk to people. I've made myself available just about everywhere around the Braddon electorate. So come Saturday, I don't know what more I can do than just tell people, send a loud message to them. Don't worry about my ability to do the job properly. I'm more than capable of doing that. And that's because of those that I know and the networks that I have. So throw your vote behind me and send a loud message to these two major parties. They need to put us first. And that's what it's all about for me. And I hope I encourage some younger people out there to also put their hand up in the future. You know, you don't have to sit back and take it. Get out and represent those that think the same as you. You know, and that's very important. That's what democracy is. So.
Now, for those that are unfamiliar with Craig Garland, what's your story and how did you end up here?
Well, I was born and bred in Wynyard. I was born on the same day as both my grandfathers. You know, one grandfather lied about his age, went and fought in the First and Second World War, and then spent the rest of his days arguing with Menzies on the radio. My other grandfather had the first Harley that came into the area. He was a postal postman out at La Poigna. And he was doing it on horseback, I believe. I think he broke his leg the week before his wedding day. So born and bred in Wynyard. I went into the Navy when I was 15. I didn't finish grade 10. It was more a discipline thing for me. I learned a lot in the Navy to get along with people I didn't necessarily agree with or necessarily like that much sometimes, but you get on, just like living in community. Then I came back, I got a job in the shipping industry, and I went from being the shipping clerk, just riding the cargo, charging the freight rates, etc., to doing the waterside workers' payroll, and then doing the ship's husbandry side, which is everything to do with shipping before it comes and goes, cargo, crew, you know, customs, DPI documents. Had a good... That was really interesting in the 80s, just seeing all the industry that was going on, the newsprint from AWPM and Wesley Vale, Tioxide, the minerals coming up from the West Coast that were going out in the bulk carriers, the onions, the potatoes, the timber, the 30 or 40 different sawmills that I was dealing with, their cargo. But I got a bit sick of that after a while. I sort of got to a point where I'd done sort of everything, and I was looking out an office window at the ocean, and I just wanted to spend more time fishing because that's all I'd ever done since I was a kid. And it was always a dream to, you know, just fish for a living, basically. So I gave up my shipping job, started a fish shop. After 5 years, I won a Best Fish and Chip Award, ABC Radio Award, and then my turnover tripled. I had to get more staff, and suddenly I had no time to go fishing anymore. And I sold that. I swapped that for a shack at Rocky Cape, and I thought I'd achieved everything I wanted to in life. I saw a movie a long time ago called When the Whales Came, and it was about a fellow that had a wife and a couple of kids and just lived beside the ocean. So when I got that shack, I thought, well, I've got that bit covered. I waited for 7 or 8 years. I had a few relationships and what have you, but it never happened. I thought, well, I'm not going to be living beside the ocean with a missus and a couple of kids. And I sold the shack and moved on and got back into fishing. And then one day I had 60 grand in the bank after I'd had nothing for quite a while, and I had every bill covered that I didn't want for anything. I didn't want to travel, and I was sitting there thinking, what do I want to do with my life? And it was the first time I didn't have a game plan, so to speak. And 2 weeks later, I met Beck. That's a bit of a story, but I haven't got time to tell you all about that. But another month later, she was pregnant. Then we had a mortgage, and then another pregnancy, and another mortgage, and another pregnancy. I'm doing a dozen funerals, four elections. This will be my fifth, and that's a bit of a brief overview of, you know, there's a lot that's happened in between, but that's basically how I got to where I am now.
Rightio, and then Canberra called.
Well, that was just a sense of duty. I was frustrated with issues within my fishing industry that weren't being resolved, and found out we were being lied to and led along the garden path. And then just out of sheer frustration, I just put my hand up. I had no idea what sort of support I get. I did not care. I just thought, surely there are other people that feel like I do, and thank God there is, because I've been on an upward trajectory ever since. And so I've sort of created my own... that's why I'm here now. I can't walk away. I'm getting more support every time I go.
Well, and then they usually say the rest is history.
Yeah. So it's I'm not a career politician, mate. It's just I feel like there's a sense of duty with this. And also, the one thing that really clinched it for me, I thought about running away and just removing myself from all this, because. But then I thought, my kids are going to have to deal with this down the track. If we don't address this situation where we are right now, my children will be inheriting that mess, and it's way too important for me that they don't have to go through a lot of the stuff that I have in life. It's more a responsibility right now and a sense of duty. I've been given everything I've wanted in life. I have not wanted for anything, and now I just figure it's my time to do what I can to get that discussion going so we can get to a better place.
Great messages there. And, of course, you've got to make your vote count this weekend, don't you? It's so important.
That's right. You know, go 1 to 10. And if my advice is to put me at the top and put the major parties down the bottom. Now, that's where they've put us for so long. There's some good minor party independent candidates in between there, so you pick amongst them where your heart tells you. And that's very important. You give them nothing, they've given us bugger all. So,
Well, independent for Braden, Craig Garland.